As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Bootin' Scootin' Migootin'. What's up, dude?
We just had a nice little watch party in Steel's parents' basement.
Yep, just like the good old days.
And we're going to order some pizza, and we are going to have a slumber party.
That's not going to happen.
Come on, we should bring slumber parties back. Why not?
That's a thing now. Did you saw that podcast? Was it The Yak?
Yeah. I think somebody from Barstool is doing it. It looks great. Just hang out with the boys, play some video games, eat some pizza, and just slumber with your friends, you know?
I'm all for it, but honestly, when it comes to like the sleeping part, that's where I have an issue. Not because I'm not comfortable trying to do that.
But like,
nobody's going to be able to sleep.
Yeah, nobody's going to be a dickhead like we were when we were teenagers and like actively stay awake so that you're the last one up so that you can fuck with everybody else.
And like draw a penis on somebody's face.
Yeah, I hope none of our friends are going to do that, but we don't have the most mature group of friends.
Our friends would 100% draw a dick on somebody's face.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know what? Let's just scrap that whole idea right now.
Okay.
Just get ahead of it.
I'm cool with that. But we had a little VPR watch party, as Shooter said, and what an episode. We have a shitload to talk
Jesus
about
Christ,
tonight.
Jesus Christ, an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, some would say it was arguably too long, but I don't know, because like stuff just kept happening. And I'm just glad that we're at a point in this season where like after the first three episodes, it was such a drag that we've hit like a very good stride. Like that was a really good episode of TV.
Yeah, no, it really was. Honestly, I wish that they would have gotten rid of, you know, one of the first three episodes, and then you could have cut this one into two episodes.
You really could have.
And then we would have been happier a month ago.
Yeah.
But, you know what? Let's leave the past in the past. Let's just be happy about what we saw. And like Steel said, there's a shit ton of stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to get to everything that
we will do our best.
Well, it really comes down to what we deem is, I guess, important.
Newsworthy.
Yeah, you know, we control the news.
I will say, side note here before we get into it. First and foremost, don't forget, we have our live show in D.C. on May 3rd. So head to the link in our bio to get your tickets. We have Candace Dillard coming out to join us. We have Chris Bassett coming out to join us. And we got one more guest that literally was made official about 30 minutes ago. I didn't even tell Shooter yet because we were watching VPR. But we have a third guest coming out, and that is the one and only Ryan Bailey from So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Longtime friend of the show, one of our favorite collaborating partners.
Collaborating partners, yeah.
Yeah, that's better than collabs.
Yeah. Friend of the show is also just a funny phrase.
Friend of the show?
Us, yeah.
I like that.
Friend of the show. Friend of the program, yeah.
Makes me feel official.
Yeah.
He's a friend of the show. No, so Bailey's going to join us. I also can't help but call him Bailey for some reason, but he's going to be joining us as well so we can talk and recap with him. We love recapping with him. We always click, so we're really excited. It's going to be an awesome show. It's an awesome venue. We have three awesome guests coming out. How many times can I say awesome? I don't know. Buy those tickets and I'll call you awesome.
Did you plan that?
No.
Okay.
That didn't sound smooth.
It didn't sound great at all.
It wasn't very good.
I was hoping you didn't plan that.
No. But in the world of VPR news, I do have something to share with our listeners. We got a little bit of an inside scoop because everyone's been asking the same question because we just saw Ariana finally bought a house in the Hollywood Hills. It's a really cool house. Did you see it?
Yeah, it looks really cool.
It's Cali as shit, by the way.
We've seen people from this show specifically purchase houses or live in apartments that we immediately go, ugh.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You finally have money and you don't know what to do with it? Speaking of, what's going on?
Did you notice that at James and Allie's house, they showed the plane flying over?
Every time. They're going to do it every time. Like, I guarantee you that James or Allie are watching this. I think it's just James's house, right? I don't think they own it together. But I guarantee that James is rewatching this season, wondering why he even said in the first episode, everything's great except for, you know, the planes that go above us. Because Bravo locked in on that, and they're doing it every episode. It's the most petty thing ever.
Yeah, it's not entertaining. Like, we get it. They live by the airport. It's not the end of the world.
It's gone through peaks and valleys with me, where it started off, I'm like, all right, this is a little annoying. Are we going to do this every time?
Now you're enjoying it?
No. Then I started enjoying it, and now I'm back to not enjoying it.
I think
by the end of the season, I'm going to enjoy it again, though. It's funny.
Like the
commitment to the bit gets me.
I agree with that. I do love a commitment, especially to a bad bit. And if you just keep going with it, you can eventually turn it good. Those are some of the best bits out there.
Those are the best.
But it's like a $1.3 million house in L.A. Like, it's by the airport. Fucking who cares? I don't know. But back
Did you make that number up?
No.
Wow.
No, yeah. It's like either 1.2 or 1.3 million.
How about that?
Yeah, in Burbank.
Wow, you remember stuff.
I know. Sometimes it's weird.
Memory's getting better.
No, it's not. It's not.
Taking your memory pills.
No, I forget where I put my shoes sometimes. Like,
okay, all right, you don't have to open up that much.
But back to my point. So Ariana finally got her house, and it ends the saga of what took so long, why she's still living there. We got a little bit of an inside scoop. And it's so blatantly obvious that I'm actually a little frustrated that we didn't just think of this as an option. For like 8 months plus, she was trying. She put offers into houses. She lost the house. Like, she didn't win some of these offers. Extremely competitive market. I would imagine LA is a disaster trying to find a house. So, like, the most obvious answer out there, she was attempting to but didn't get a house. That's what was happening for 8 months. 8 months plus.
Seems pretty plausible to me.
Yeah, and that's an insider scoop. We can you can take that one to the bank. That one is actually true. So
yeah, it's accurate for you, and you can put everything else to bed because Sandoval obviously, first off, Ariana's not going to tell Sandoval shit.
No, she doesn't have to.
So he doesn't even know that she's doing this. And even if he did know that she was putting bids into other houses at some point, he would have twisted it to make it look like she was staying there despite him.
Oh, for sure.
So it wouldn't have mattered either way. So you don't even have to look for the clues in the show. Just take our word for it, and we'll finally move on from something that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, and was there a little bit of, you know, revenge in there by Ariana staying a little bit longer? Probably, but again, official word, 8 months she was looking for a house. She was not, her offer was not accepted on those houses.
Yeah.
So that was the root of the problem.
And
okay?
Who would willingly stay in that train wreck of a room which rears its ugly head once again?
We will have a discussion about the room.
Yeah.
We will have a discussion about the room when we get to the dog later. The last thing I want to talk about before we get into it is the feud going on right now between Katie and Lala that to me seems like it's Lala versus Katie, but not so, like Katie's not really biting. I don't know if you've been keeping up with it at all.
It's surprising that Katie's not biting because, I mean, she, especially on Instagram, will rip anybody apart.
Mm-hmm.
So her taking the stance of, I'm not going to do this with Lala is a little questionable for me.
Oh, I like it because Lala,
I think it's good. It's a different side of Katie.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's just more so, especially with what we're seeing in this specific episode.
Yeah.
I have so many questions. I have, like, it has flipped my brain into a pretzel. My brain's a pretzel right now, but not really. I understand what she's doing. This is just production at its best. Like,
yeah,
Lala's producing her ass off right now. Bravo, I'm sure, loves it. The viewers, I'm sure everybody hates it, but hey, it's good TV.
But you're going to tune in every week just to see what she does next.
Yeah, I know I will. I kind of have to, but I...
Yes, we do.
I do it anyway. All right? You ready to talk about this show?
I am.
All right, well, let's jump right in. We start out with, of course, Allie and James with an airplane flying over their house because they're by the airport, if you didn't know. But James picks out all of Allie's clothes. Didn't know that.
Weird.
Isn't it?
A little weird.
Isn't it, though?
But, I mean, she likes it, I guess.
No, it's fine. It's a thing that they have. That's cute, I guess.
Sure.
It's weird.
From a third-party perspective, weird.
Yeah, I even don't like when women say, like, I dress my man up. It's like, well, I don't love that. I think that everyone should dress themselves.
They should dress themselves, and you can ask for some input and say, which shirt do you like better, things like that. But for someone to just walk into your closet and say, no, this is what you're wearing today, no.
No, on either side, man or woman. Don't just dress yourself, ask for opinions. That's my opinion on that.
You know what I like to do? I like to, in the shower, when I'm getting ready to go out, like take a shower, I like to think of what I'm going to wear while I'm in the shower. Yeah, I get dressed in the shower. That way, when I put my jeans on, they get really tight to my legs.
Oh, that's good.
And then I get out and I use a blow dryer to dry them, and then they just stick to the leg.
Really highlights the moose knuckle.
Yeah.
There's a term for you.
It goes well with my my white fingernails and my fucking man purse Jesus.
Yeah, you kept pointing out Sandoval's man purse that I didn't see it once.
He's such a piece of shit. He's such a douchebag. I just can't get over it. Everything he does pisses me off.
Yeah.
And we'll just get to it. I don't want to.
Well, it's time to jump in because we get Tom with Billy Lee. Those two have had sex, right?
Yeah.
Like
1,000%. Like she walked into that bedroom and she's like, I've been here before.
Yeah.
Like
I know this room very well.
Yeah.
100%. They've definitely boinked, but they're talking about Ariana going to Hotel Ziggy for the DJ James Kennedy set that night, but they're more so talking about the house and what's going to go on with the house. And, oh, that's interesting that all this house news came out and this episode came out.
Bravo-spiracy.
Wow, Bravo-spiracy. Sheesh.
That is actually, the coincidence is just that she finally got a house.
No, I know, but it's still the timing.
All the other news about it.
Look, anytime things coincide, I always assume there's a conspiracy in Bravo.
That's a good point.
It's very rarely just by coincidence, but yeah. I don't know. Regardless, they're talking about it, and Billy Lee's like, why don't you just walk across the hall and like knock on her door, slide it under her door frame? Because of what happened 4 months ago. That's why. This is a disaster scenario right now. They're living... When they showed that cutscene of them just walking to our... I didn't realize, like, their doors face each other down the hall.
Yeah.
What a fucking nightmare.
One of them has to call, and it's always Ariana, I imagine, has to call Anne to say, where is he? And then she leaves her room.
I felt so bad, because Ariana FaceTimes Anne, who's, like, gassed up. She's getting ready for the Taylor Swift concert, and she has to be concerned about where Tom Sandoval is in the house at that moment.
Yeah.
But we do find out that she wants to jump ship and be Ariana's assistant, which I thought was really funny.
It is hilarious.
Especially if it's the dynamic, like if we got to see it this season, where they're all three still in the house together, but now Anne answers to Ariana, not Tom.
That would be awesome.
A fantastic dynamic. But hashtag save Anne, everybody. Let's get her over to Team Ariana. But moving on, we get to Schwartz and Lala, and this is an interesting scene because there's something refreshing. I mean, self-destructive. But refreshing about Schwartz's approach to life. It's like I'm addicted to benders, pretty much, whether it be a healthy bender, a drug bender, or a drug and alcohol bender. I love benders.
I don't know what Schwartz... I don't think Schwartz knows what he's saying when he's talking. Like, when he's thinking with his inner monologue, it has to be the most convoluted bullshit ever.
Say this. Don't say that. Say this. Okay.
He just has like six things going on inside of his mind at one time. And he comes up with something that just doesn't make any sense. Like, have you ever thought this through? Why are you saying this to Lala, of all people, at this moment while you're sitting at a smoothie bar? I get it. Maybe like he said that he was addicted to healthy lifestyles.
Just for two weeks.
But then he also likes to be addicted to a bender where he just does drugs and alcohol. Yeah. And then he likes to come down. And he's like, yeah, I like to self-destruct a little bit.
He says, I like to fall apart every once in a while, good and bad.
Look, we don't kink shame here. But, I mean...
I'll kink shame that one a little. Yeah, that one's a little tough way to live.
Yeah, that's a really tough.
It does explain...
Do yourself some favors.
Hey, it does explain the bugs. That explains the bugs in the apartment to me.
It does, we got another... which we haven't seen in a couple of weeks, when he shows up at something about her with an orchid.
Yeah.
So we got it. We're back on the plant vibe, which is cool.
I like the plant vibe.
I think it's funny. It's same thing as the plane. I go through ebbs and flows with it.
Yeah, that's fair.
If he keeps doing it, I'm going to like it eventually.
That's fair. But we get a bombshell drop that we all knew was coming. And what we didn't know is how the group is going to react to this bombshell. But in trying to vindicate Sandoval in some way, shape, or form, Schwartz goes and says, you know, everybody makes mistakes. It's like, you know, I was a makeout slut. Like, I made out with Sheena in Vegas. Like, nobody knows that. It's like, dude, to your point, do you think about the things you say before you say it? Or is this a moment? Is this intentional? Does he know exactly what he's doing?
I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think this goes with your theory of Schwartz, where he is actually very... I guess manipulative in his own way.
Everything
he does is direct, and there is some reason to why he's doing it. But I do also think that what he was talking about before with being addicted to various lifestyles was not part of that. That's just his own brain working. But when he's doing something and saying something, this seemed like a deeper rooted thing that he's trying out. Like,
he knows that she's going to take it to the group.
Yeah, let me try to distract everybody from Sandoval, which, by the way, the timing of it makes no sense because Tom Sandoval is coming back to the group.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the group is slowly, or rather quickly, opening their arms to him and letting him back in. You don't have to do this right now.
You could argue it's the best time to do it because now all of the heat, I mean, not really, because you see how they react to Sandoval walking into the bar later with tea, but this does take away a lot of heat from and distract other people, and it also throws Sheena under the bus a little bit. So now people are mad at multiple people in the group. I will say, like, you know, it was bullshit when Lala got up and stormed away from the table at the end of the episode, but the sentiment is true. This group is fucked up.
Yeah, they really are. And for this to come out now is also pretty wild because, what, Ariana was there too? So
she made out with Sheena too.
She made out with Sheena too. So nobody knew about this for 12 years. The whole thing just seems a little sketchy to me, especially if Sheena's openly making jokes. Like he said, she's making jokes at the holiday party about us, quote unquote, making out. I don't believe that no one else knew this.
I agree with that.
I think that maybe they kept it from Katie.
I do think that
Katie made it.
Katie didn't. That seemed like a genuine reaction from her.
I think it was too, because, and we're jumping around a slight amount here, but when she's sitting down with Sheena at Hotel
Ziggy,
like
a jumbled episode, though.
It is very jumbled. It's sort of like a reunion.
Yeah.
A little mid-season episode. Yeah, when she's sitting down with Ziggy, when she's sitting down with Sheena at Hotel Ziggy, she did seem a little not, she didn't seem as composed as she usually is.
I agree with
especially
that.
When she's going after someone.
She seemed
usually
rattled.
When Katie's going after somebody, she's more succinct. She knows what she's going after. Now she's sitting there and it seemed like she didn't know what to think. Like she was almost like battling within herself as to, you know, is this a big deal? Am I really upset about this? Do I go after Sheena for this? Am I upset, like, and offended by her? I don't really know. You could see her going back and forth within herself. So I do think that she didn't know. But I don't believe that the rest of the group didn't know. I guarantee you Sandoval knew. I guarantee you that
Sandoval,
it didn't seem like Lala knew, but I think that Ariana could have even known. It's just like the whole group is so fucked up that I assume that a couple people knew.
I would imagine a couple of people did. But the next scene, we get Lala and Katie, and Lala, the first thing she does is tell Katie, like, hey, I had an interesting conversation with Schwartz. He told me that he made out with Sheena a while ago. And Katie did seem flummoxed. That was a flummoxed look on her face. I did appreciate Lala's confessional. I don't believe that this is how it went down. I don't believe that she was like, am I going to tell Sheena first or Katie? I think that she saw Katie first and told Katie first. I think that if she had seen Sheena first, I get, like, her reasoning was sound in the confessional months later. The reasoning's sound. I don't want to tell Sheena so that she can have time to spin some different narrative. Because that's exactly what she would have done. We watched it happen tonight in real time. She spins a different narrative immediately. I don't think that's what happened. But I
think that when it comes down to Lala, especially this season, what's going to hit best for the show? What's going to be the most produced moment?
Yep.
Do I tell Katie first and then see what Katie does? Does she go to Sheena directly to discuss this? Hopefully on camera, I would imagine. That's how we're going to do this. I think she did actually sit down and think, who do I go to first and what's going to hit the most as far as the show goes? Because again, I agree with the whole Sheena is going to spin it and try to, you know, get on top of the narrative. That's fine. But I just don't think that anything really comes of it if she goes to Sheena. Like, yeah, we get like the shocked aspect and then Sheena cops to it in the way that she did later at Hotel Ziggy. You go to Katie first because that's where you're going to get the best reaction. That's where it's going to hit most for the storyline. And Lala knows that.
That's fair. That's a fair evaluation. But it takes us back to a clip when way back, I forget what season it was, 2013. So Schwartz had come back from Vegas and Katie heard that he made out with one of Sheena's friends. It turns out that friend very well could have been Sheena herself. And I think that's exactly what happened. And it's
I think
weirder.
He probably also made out with a friend.
He probably did. He's a makeout whore. Like everybody knows. It's not like, but the funny thing is with that term and like Tom Schwartz being known as the makeout whore, it like softens the blow. It's like, no, he was a cheater. Like he cheated all the time. Like every time people say that, it's like, oh, you know, Schwartz. Like, yeah. Ha ha. No, he was cheating like relentlessly. Like that's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not like a cute thing to be that guy. Like
no.
He was cheating, but he always gets a pass. I don't know. But Katie's reaction is not great. And she's trying to figure out what to do with this information, I guess. And that takes us directly into Hotel Ziggy and the whole gang's there. Joe's there even. Everybody showed up to this thing. And the first initial conversation we get is Sandoval talking to Brock. Who,
walking in with his purse strapped across his chest.
And he's like, I really want to talk to Ariana tonight. And this is where, with him specifically, I do believe he's actually a narcissist. Because, and like, I feel like that term gets thrown around a lot, especially in reality TV, but like a genuine narcissist and genuine narcissism is a very different thing. I do believe he's genuinely, like, I don't understand how he thinks he can approach her. She has not made herself open at all. She's not opened the door. She's not even giving you a toe in the door, let alone a foot in the door. Why tonight? Because she's there? I feel like this is more of him being like, I'm going to make her uncomfortable because she's starting to work her way back into the group. So I'm going to go out of my way to talk to her because I know she doesn't want me to talk to her, to try to force her back out so that I can be friends with these people again. Because if Ariana slides in, they're going to remember I'm a big old piece of shit.
It could be that. I think it's just as calculated as that. I was thinking more along the lines of after the trip to Tahoe, he's already spoken to pretty much everybody in the group. He finally got a chance to talk to Katie. And again, we thought that last week when he talked to Katie in his kitchen that he spun it in his own way. And he's like, that went pretty well. Because he ended the conversation with, you look good, by the way.
By the way, so you look
in
good.
His mind, he's like, all right, I you know, I broke the silence with Katie. We're finally there. And this is the first event post people accepting him back into the group and at least not, you know, groaning when he walks into the room or staring at him and not talking to him. He's still able to have words with pretty much everybody there except for Ariana.
Mm.
And they're not going to blow up at him. So he's in a position where he can do that now. And I do think that, yes, it is a manipulative situation where he goes over to Ariana and wants to talk to her.
And talks like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, he's just like, I want to be respectful of your boundaries here, but like, get the fuck out of the house. Or tell your lawyer, I'm sorry. You know what? You just let me know, all right? Get your lawyer to come back to me, but like, get the hell out of the house. Like, that's pretty much what he's saying. And for Lala to sit there and ask follow-up questions. What is this about? What is he talking about?
None of your business,
just,
bro.
Yeah, just because you're sitting there and just because you want to push this whole fucking side of the story where you're now accepting Tom and you're trying to take his side because you think that Ariana's a monster because she has endorsements?
Yes.
Is that why we think she's a monster, Lala? Because yes. She's making a lot more money than you?
Yes.
Is that what it comes down
this
to?
Is all jealousy.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. That must really suck for you. How much did you spend? How much did you gain on the Send It to Daryl shit? Who the fuck?
Six figures. Six
figures. Who the fuck cared about the Send It to Daryl shit before the Ariana thing?
No one. Because it came from that.
Yeah. So you're sitting there and you're going to do your Give Them Lala podcast, but now you're going to be upset that she's getting more.
No, it's rebranded. It's Give Them now.
It's just Give Them, yeah. So we don't even know what we're giving them anymore. Giving them fucking a headache. That's what they're giving them.
It's not actually called that.
I know, dude.
Okay.
But no, it's definitely one of those situations. And look, I'm here for it. I'm here for Tom and Ariana exchanging words.
Sure.
Because I want to see that on my TV screen every week. That's funny to me. But Lala interjecting herself, it just has no place for what I want to see.
Well, especially when she comments in a confessional afterwards and says that, you know, it's pretty weird that she's not leaving the house. Like, she's starting to... This episode is substantial in seeing when Lala really flips.
Yeah.
And if you think it's genuine and that she's actually having this softened journey, I'm going to be sweet to everybody and all this stuff, she might be, to some extent, like no longer wanting the drama, this and that.
Other people.
Right. But if you think that this isn't a calculated move to make herself look better on TV or to give her a better storyline on TV, and she knows exactly what she's doing when she's doing all this stuff, she's not dumb. You know, Lala, for everything she is not dumb. She's an intelligent person, and she knows exactly what she's doing right now. And it looks like shit, but again, it is making for really good TV, but it's just weird to see this flip, because you go back and listen to Sheena's podcast, go back and listen to Lala's podcast, Peak Sandoval, they were skewering him more than anybody else in the world. They were going after the jugular and his testicles instantaneously. Or simultaneously.
Instantaneously. How would you differentiate the pain at that point if you're going for jugular and testicles?
You'll find out.
You can't do it instantaneously. You're quick, but you're not that quick.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah.
No, I do think that there's some semblance of what Lala is doing, and I kind of understand it, where she's doing this thing. She already got her bag. Like, she's not going to be able to capitalize anymore on the scandal of it all as far as what she's doing specifically. But what is her bread and butter is this show.
Yeah.
She's done. She realizes she doesn't need Ariana anymore.
That's exactly
so it. Now she's flipping over to Sandoval because people are going to start talking about Lala and thinking, why is she switching? Let's go tune into her podcast to find out. Maybe she's got a little bit of information to share with us.
I like that theory.
Yeah, so I think that she used her cash cow with Sandoval. That's over. Let's move on to something else. I'm going to do something a little more crazy. I'm going to take Tom's side.
That's a good call. I think you're onto something. But
she instantly regretted it when she walked in that house during the breath thing. But
you think? But
I want to talk to you guys quickly about Bowl and Branch. Steele, do you have any hacks that you use late at night that you just use to try to go to sleep?
Yeah, sometimes I meditate a little bit.
Okay.
It doesn't always work.
Yeah.
But I like to do a little meditation, maybe a little breathing work.
A little breathing work. I'm a big noise machine kind of guy. It gets me in the right mind frame, you know, those types of things. Well, I've got an alternative for you. Bowl and Branch makes the softest, most breathable bedding you'll ever feel. And nothing is better than that. You climb into bed and you feel how soft those sheets are. It almost puts you to sleep right then and there.
I'm almost falling asleep thinking about it.
I know. And honestly, since I got my Bowl and Branch sheets, they are buttery soft and they get softer every time that I wash them. And I'm excited to get into bed. I'm excited every single time that I wash those sheets. You know how you have that task of, oh, I got to get them out of the dryer. I got to put them back on the bed. Sometimes you forget. Then you walk into the bedroom and you just don't want to do it anymore. I don't do that with Bowl and Branch. I go right to the dryer, whip them out, put them on the bed, and I'm excited to get in there. I almost want to get in right away. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. It's great.
But the best thing about them is they get softer with each wash. So yeah, I'm excited to get them out of the dryer. They're softer now.
Yeah, and they've got great colorways. I know Steele and I both selected our own. Goes with everything else that we've got going on there. And we are pumped to get into bed at night separately, of course.
Yes.
Sometimes not, but who knows? And you can do the same thing as we're doing over here, and you can sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch during their best sale the entire season. You can get 20% off your order when you use promo code BROVBROS at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BOLLAND branch.com. Promo code BROVBROS. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The one thing I want to talk about before we move on was the treatment of Joe this evening. And I said it last week that I felt bad for Joe. Now, let me amend it a little bit. I understand why Katie has beef with her, and I think she has legitimate beef. I understand why Ariana's got beef with her, and I think that she has legitimate beef because of the Big Bear situation where Joe, Schwartz, Tom, and Raquel were all hanging out. Valid, valid, valid. What I don't like to see is Sandoval is now cool with a lot of people in the group. They're no longer going after him. Joe shows up to this party, and they are acting like high school mean girls, like giggling in the corner, clearly talking about her, pointing. Sheena, of all people, is the one that takes like the lead here. And she's like, take your hat off, show off your braids. Like, you're a hairstylist. Like, that was just straight up bullying. And she is the last one to have any shit with her.
We are allowed to make fun of the hairstylist.
Yes.
You cannot, Sheena.
No, and I don't understand why Sheena is at the head of this, like, trying to tear this woman down. Like, it really bugged me. It really made me sad when Joe started crying and, like, left. Here's my big thing, okay? They are allowed to have shit with her, all right? Katie and Ariana specifically are allowed to have shit with her. If you've got something to say, go fucking say it. That's my thing always. If you want to go talk some shit, fine. Go to Joe and talk some shit. Don't stand at the table, giggle, point, make fun of her hair and her appearance, and make her leave the party crying.
Yeah, my big issue was just the Sheena of it all. When it comes to Katie and Ariana, it's like,
again, okay. I get it.
Like, if she did know, and it's confirmed that she did know that Sandoval was fucking Raquel for 6 months,
valid.
Fine. Then do whatever the fuck you want. I really don't care what Katie and Ariana do, because that's fine. Sheena getting involved, it just doesn't make any sense. And this is when we were watching tonight, because Steele and I watched together. We had a little watch party. Watching this in real time, my first reaction to Sheena was, who the fuck are you?
That's my, like, whole thing.
This is, you're low man on the totem pole. You're finally in a position where you can be the bullier, and you're taking every opportunity to do this. Yeah. You're going after her for every other reason that makes no sense. You're not a huge Team Ariana person. You've already started to make that shift. One, we call out that Lala's doing it. Lala's doing it to be overproduced.
Yeah.
You're doing it because you're a worm.
Yeah, exactly.
You are like not sure what to do. You don't have a thought of your own in your own skull. And here you are trying to just gang up on this girl that walked in. And again, I get it. What she did to Ariana is rough. I don't think that Joe was crying. I think there was a bit of an edit in there.
No, dude.
I don't think Joe was crying because they were, quote unquote, pointing at her and bullying her.
Dude, she was so uncomfortable there.
She was uncomfortable because she knows they fucking hate her because she knows that Sandoval was fucking Raquel for 6 months.
Dude, I'm not
defending. She ran out crying because she's afraid of them.
No.
As she should be.
No, no.
Yes,
no.
Dude.
No. I felt bad for her in that moment. Again, I have zero
I can feel bad for the bullying. Me having to watch bullying.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel uncomfortable watching it.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
But when it comes down to it, she knew. And you know
she
what?
No.
Fucking deal with it, dude.
And walking into that situation, she should know that it's not going to be comfortable.
You're also there with
she
Schwartz.
She might get forced out. Like, there's
not going to protect you.
Yeah, there's a lot of things there that, yeah, she might have had a heads up walking into that party knowing, like, yeah, this probably won't go well. But again, Ariana and Katie, sure. And if they want to stand in the corner and say shit, sure. They have the right to because you fucked them over.
Yeah. Okay? My problem's with Sheena.
My problem is the table group talking about it, dragging Allie into it. Like, all of that is where it rubbed me the wrong way. And the Sheena part of it really pissed me off because, like you said, like, dude, you're not part of this. And you were the first domino to fall on the Sandoval train.
Yeah.
And now, if somebody fucking grabs my hat off my head, I'm going to punch you right in the fucking teeth.
I think you've said that before.
I have.
Who was grabbing hats before?
I can't. But if you make physical contact on me, and like it's not like if you fucking grab something off of me, I'm either going to bitch slap you as a dude, obviously not a woman, but like I would bitch slap a man or punch him right in the fucking teeth. Like, don't touch me.
What if they simultaneously grabbed your hat and your testicles?
I would bitch slap them and punch them in the teeth instantaneously. No, but like that shit, bro, like fuck that. We're not, they are in their 30s and 40s. Don't grab shit off of another human being. Ariana, Katie, fine. You're right. Like that makes sense. It wasn't fun to watch, but I get where they were coming from. Fine. I'm with you there. Sheena, fuck off. Fair?
Fair.
Okay, cool.
Just every episode we do this. Sheena, shut up.
Just fucking Kid Rocks, dude. Like, seriously.
Honestly, the only time that she's been on screen this season that I'm like, all right, whatever, Sheena, I don't care what you're doing, was when she was in the Valley.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm like, Sheena, just shut up.
Like, yeah.
Like, stop doing what you're doing.
It's just like you're trying to play every angle here so that you don't get vilified by anybody, and you're going to end up getting vilified by everybody.
Yeah.
That's a bad game to play. And case in point, we move over to the couch. Katie and Sheena are having their conversation. And Sheena immediately deflects. No, that's not what happened at all. Bullshit. Bullshit. They 1,000% made out.
I think they made out.
She made out with Schwartz days after she got engaged to Shay. And she's like, no, he like pulled me in the corner and he kissed me. Like, it was definitely not a make out. And this is where, to your point, Katie's working through this. And you can tell. I do think that she went into this conversation trying to find a way out for Sheena where they could be cool after this because she did not come in hot. I thought she was going to come in way hotter. She was under control. As it starts to like transpire, you see her start to get a little bit more like, all right, well, she's starting to recognize that it's more fucked up than she realized. And again, not because of the makeout. Not because of the potential just kiss or whatever Sheena's claiming happened. It's the fact that Sheena was in their wedding. They've been friends for a while now. They've had this up and down tumultuous relationship. And Sheena is trying to use that to say, that's why I didn't tell her. It's like, well, if you want a real friendship based on trust, this should be some info that you divulged at some point or another.
Yeah.
And that's where Katie's starting to realize like, oh, no, you've been lying to me for a really long time.
And Sheena, this is the other thing. The way that Schwartz said it, it's like, okay, it's Schwartz, you know, take him for his word because he didn't think about it before he said it. He just came out and said it.
I believe him.
So yes, I believe him immediately. If Sheena had gone into it, and I'm not saying that she should lie about this, I'm saying from Katie's perspective, once you bring it up, if Sheena's response is, I don't really think we did. I honestly, I don't know. But and she's like really unsure about what it was and confused. That's one thing. Then it's like, all right, you know what? Maybe you guys were really drunk in Vegas, and I don't really need to hold you accountable for this because I'm not married to him anymore. I don't have to deal with his shit anymore. And you look genuinely confused. Sheena knew right away.
Immediately.
Sheena had a story lined up right away. Sheena, we already knew that Sheena was talking about it over the holidays. So that means it's actually present in your mind. It happened 12 years ago. You're still making jokes about it. This isn't just something that you simply forgot because you thought it was innocuous or you thought that it was stupid. So you just moved on and completely forgot about it. You're still making jokes about this. So to that regard, you could have brought it up at any given time and said, by the way, this is what happened in Vegas. And it would have been a lower, at least a softer blow than what it is now. Because now it's just like, I heard it from fucking Schwartz, who was involved in it. And I still didn't hear from you, who I value as a friend.
Well, she heard it from Lala, who heard it by proxy. Heard it
by proxy, yeah. Heard it.
But like, that's a really good point. Because again, had she let it lie entirely, that's one thing. Like, had she not discussed it since the day that it happened, okay, that you're right. And it may never have came up, but the fact that she has recently made a joke about it, now you are under the chopping block because you shouldn't have said anything. You shouldn't have made a joke about it. And now you're saying, I didn't joke about it. All I said was, yeah, I tried to make out with it. That's a joke.
It's a joke.
It's a joke. And that means it's present in your mind, which means that, yes, if you can remember it present day, then you should have said something because Schwartz didn't remember. Schwartz remembered because of the dumb joke that Sheena made. So this is all your fault, Sheena, as per huge.
Yep.
This is on you, dude. But moving on from there, we get James and Lala and Schwartz. And Sandoval shows up eventually, and they're sitting down having lunch. And I'm so excited to watch this episode with you.
Oh, God.
Because it's going to be a joy. When
you know it's going to pain you, though, too.
It will. And that's the funniest part, because this is not like a sober thing that like sober people do, and I want to get that out there right now.
This is a fucking loser thing.
Like a water sommelier. I've heard of it. That's the funny thing. I have heard of water sommeliers, and I am partial to, I love Essentia, Smart Water, and what's the third one? Life Water I will dabble in.
I don't like Life Water. But I can tell the difference between good water and bad water.
Yes.
I understand that. And tap water. Throw it in there. I don't give a shit. You don't need a water. Can we just do this next week?
Oh, should we?
I don't want to deal with this right now.
Oh, you mean, I thought you meant let's taste some water.
Oh, we can do
that. Can we water sommelier next week?
Yeah, we should do that next week.
Okay, we're going to water sommelier next week and see if we can figure out which one's which.
We're going to scramble to see if we get some brand deals with some of these waters.
I like that. I like that. And yeah, we can save it for next week. I'm looking forward to that episode with you because I think it's going to be really funny because I know how you're going to, I'm not going to like it either, but I know it's going to piss you off, but
it might be worse than every other sommelier that we've seen.
But it's totally going to be because it's not like, there's hints of, do I get oak and tobacco barrels and it's going to be, I don't taste silt in this one. This one's a little bit silty.
Yeah. It's going to be sound bath territory for me.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting
maybe
watch.
Maybe worse.
But this is like that turning point that we are going to look back on this season is when Lala flipped and is no longer Team Ariana. She's no longer Ride or Die for her. And you can tell the minute that Sandoval walks in, these two have never been friends. Like, this is not a friendship that was lost due to Sandoval. Like, they were never tight.
Yep.
He walks into the restaurant and she's all bubbly and like excited to see him and like genuinely feels bad for him. She says this line, which like floored me. She goes, I'm not going to hold you hostage for your past or their version of it. There's no versions here. Like, we know exactly what happened. It's cut and dry. It's black and white. There is no other way to look at this scenario. So you are just simply saying, I'm no longer going to hate you because I don't want to be Team Ariana anymore.
And what can we point to that has happened in the last 24 hours that shows Lala's change that was so appalling of Ariana to do that Lala's like, oh, you know what? Maybe we're giving Tom the short end of the stick here because she gave him the cold shoulder about getting out of the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what pushed you over the edge?
No.
No, it's not. This is just point. This really just points to Lala is being so overproduced and just trying to push the show forward and push her own personal narrative forward so that people talk about her. That's all it is. If something had happened and it's like, okay, you know what? Ariana was kind of a dick, which look, I think we already got that cut in the beginning of the season where it was a shit edit on Ariana's part and she wasn't doing it then. This is not enough for me to be like, oh, you know what? At least like there's something happened there where she got her brain thinking. It's like, no, that's nothing.
But
what?
good TV.
It's good. It's great TV. Look, it's working. That's the thing. That's the caveat of all of this. The underlying tone of everything that we're saying about Lala, we're ripping her for face value for what she's showing on the show.
Yes.
I fully 1,000% appreciate what she's doing for the show.
Bringing some, because yes, it's a good.
We were stagnant the first couple episodes, and she's helping it along.
She's turned it on, and Tom invites her to a therapy session, a breathing therapy session, which I don't know. I don't think that was Reiki or Reiki. I don't know if you've ever done that.
No.
There's lots of different breathing treatments that you can do. A lot of people swear by them, but regardless.
No, this was.
This was wild.
This was ejaculation of the mind.
She says she'll sleep on it. The next day, we get Tom at his house, and all I wrote was Tom breathwork, Lala shows up, Tom's coming.
Yep.
There's no other way to describe.
What the fuck was he doing?
You know what I never needed to hear? Is Tom's vinegar strokes. There's a term for you guys out there, too. Vinegar strokes.
No.
And if you need to picture what that means in your mind, imagine the face you make when you're smelling vinegar. Just, and what that's kind of like.
If you look it up, just go like private Google before you. Google.
Don't look it up. Just take my word for it.
Yeah, just don't look it up.
It's the face you make when you're having an orgasm.
But like, what the fuck were they doing? Like, what the breath coach is up there, and what is he telling him to do? Why does he have earmuffs on? Can you hear him?
You didn't see? Dude, he was talking in a microphone.
To the earmuffs.
Yes.
Why was Tom's reaction, I'm gonna come. I'm gonna come. You keep this up, I'm gonna come. Like,
wait,
seriously, like,
wait, stop the breathing. Oh!
And he wanted to do that with Lala?
Oh, yeah, gross.
Did he know this beforehand that he was gonna, was it gonna be like more theatrical if Lala was there or a little bit less?
That's my question, too, is like, did he realize that Lala came in and he turned it up a little bit?
When you said realize, I thought you were going to say, that's my real question is, did he really come? Or
by the way,
the answer is probably yes.
Yes, he did.
The answer is 1,000% yes. And he's got the fucking blindfold on. He's just thinking of himself.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, you know what was on there? There was just pictures of him behind the eye fold thing. And he was just looking at pictures of him. And that's what was playing in his headphones was one of his cover songs. And he was just, yep. But they go outside to have quite possibly the most bizarre conversation I've seen in a very long time on Vanderpump Rules. And this is more or less absolving Tom of all of his wrongdoings in one sit down with Lala.
Mm-hmm.
Again, let me remind all of you, and you probably know because you've been watching this as long as I have, they're not tight. They never were. They always had shit, and that's why Lala brings up, you know, when I was going through what I went through, you never once reached out. Tom's like, yeah, I didn't feel like it was appropriate because we weren't really friends, which is very true. But she says, you know, everybody reserves the right to evolve. So if he's bullshitting all of us, it's not my problem. I sleep well at night. It's like, well, you can't have two different sides of the street here. We're on one side. You don't put up with liars. You don't put up with shifty shit. You don't put up with people being snakes. And then hang out with the snakiest snake.
But the big problem here is let's isolate two conversations.
Okay.
This conversation and the conversation that Lala had with Ariana in the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
Neither were very tight.
Correct.
You could argue she was even a little bit closer to Ariana just because it's girls in the group and you talk a little bit more.
I would say they were closer than Tom and Lala, yeah.
Definitely, yeah. For argument's sake, you're not close to either person. You have a conversation with Ariana and it is very surface level, very, you know, we're not that close, but you know, I see what you're going through, blah blah blah, by the way, I called Raquel. That's how you handle the conversation with Ariana, the person who was wronged in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You have never had a relationship with Tom. You sit down with him and you have a very real emotional conversation about him evolving. How the fuck do you figure that?
No idea.
What, like, that doesn't make any sense in my brain. You're also standing on this podium of, you know, I was a mistress and I did this and there was all this shit going on and nobody had my back and I was getting cheated on too. You stand on that all the time. Why are you going to the person that you said reminds you of your ex and having an emotional conversation where you forgive him?
Because she brings everything back to her experience and tries to relate everything to that. And it's like, dude, it's not the same. But the biggest thing is like, it's not the same thing.
No.
You can't use that excuse for everything. You're going through a journey right now. That's fine. And you can also heal yourself without being involved in healing Tom Sandoval. Like, you don't have to be a party to this. Instead, you're using what you went through to justify being friends with him, which is not going to work well because Katie already told you not everything's relatable. And that's okay. You don't have to relate to every single story. But she ends it with, what you did is not my fight. That would work if you weren't trying to mend this friendship. And also, you claimed it was your fight because of what you went through with Randall,
yeah,
because of what Ariana was put through. You went on a tirade for months on your podcast selling merch and shit, trying to fight for this. And now you're saying, it's not my fight. I don't have time for this because of peace, love, everybody's happy, live, laugh, love, baby, all that bullshit. But you're literally putting Tom first and Ariana second because they've made it very clear to you. And I think that it's all rooted in, she's just sick of Ariana. She's sick of the attention she's getting. She's sick of the money that she's made. She's sick of the fact, here's the root of all roots of it. She's livid that she got cheated on and everything that happened with her, and she didn't gain anything from it. And on the flip side, Ariana got the world when she got cheated on.
That's a really good point. I do want you to do a little activity with me, though.
Okay. If you do, I'm about to do breathing work with you. Ew, no, I don't like that at all.
View from 5,000 feet.
Okay.
Is there a chance that LVP's, LVP's pulling the strings?
To a certain extent,
I think she pushed Lala to bring Tom back into the group. Because look, from a VPR standpoint,
okay,
the show still survives without Ariana. Ariana goes off into the sunset. She does all this shit that she's been working on over the last year and has a great life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't move on without Tom, really.
No, you can't. We've said that before.
Mm-hmm. LVP knows that. Lala knows that.
Lala's her soldier. I can see
going that. And doing that. Lala has no qualms with doing this because everybody's going to look and say, oh, she's just jealous of Ariana. Of course she's doing this. But they're going to continue to watch. And then next year when Ariana's gone and Tom's still there and Lala's still there, we're still going to watch and we're going to hate watch Lala for what she's doing, but she'll have some sort of redemption where then all of a sudden she goes after Tom again. That's what I'm thinking at this point. I think back to that conversation with Sheena, Lala, and LVP. Lala heard her loud and clear.
Yeah, she did.
Sheena was crying or whatever the fuck Sheena does.
Doing Sheena stuff.
Sheena was thinking about making out with Tom Schwartz.
Yeah.
But she's just always thinking about it. Anyway, I think that's plausible. I think it makes sense for the show because it keeps coming back to, I don't think Lala is this person. I don't think that she's going on a healing journey and she's like, I want to bring Tom Sandoval back. I think she's doing it for the show, and that's her whole motive. And if she's doing it for the show, you know who would really like that is LVP.
Yeah, I like that conspiracy theory. That's a little tinfoil hat segment. Yeah. I like that.
Why not?
But moving on, we get back to something about her, and we're doing another sandwich tasting.
Thank God. It's been a while.
It's been a while. But
did they make those sandwiches there, or did they make them somewhere else and bring them out?
Something about her. They assembled. Down the street from Sir.
Yeah, so they assembled the sandwiches and then walked them over.
But we've tried the sandwiches. We know the deal. Like, and I thought it was interesting that, you know, this place was a blank slate, and look at it now. It's like, well, it's back to a blank slate as far as we know. Again, I don't really care. Everyone wants to make a big deal.
Yeah, I don't give a
sandwich
shit.
Shop. Like, they're both making money, doing well. Like, who gives a fuck about?
Actually agree with Lala when she's like, "Can we just fast forward through the scene?"
Yeah,
me too.
But Lala, her intention there was like she doesn't want to see those two. My intention with it is more like,
I don't care.
Yeah, like they're both doing well. Why are we so stuck on the sandwich shop? Like, why do people care so much about the sandwich? Like, Katie made a killing off of merch from the sandwich shop. Ariana's doing everything under the sun. They're fine. Why are we so concerned about the sandwich shop?
As long as we have David Yontif just doing a walk by every once in a while when he's in LA, just to let us know.
Was he? Oh, that's right. He did.
Just do a little walk by, David, and just let us know if it's open.
A little update every now and then.
Every couple of months.
But I just think it's funny that people are like, oh, they can't even do that. It's like, they're fine.
Yeah.
Why do you care? They're cool. Why do you have a problem with the sandwich shop? But
agreed.
What I did not like, and this is like that, did you see that viral video of that dude from England or Europe that came to the States and he's like, just a quick PSA for you. It's croissant.
Yeah.
It's not croissant. It's like, no, we're in the States. We say croissant because when somebody that doesn't have an accent says croissant.
We talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
Maybe I'm bringing it back up because it also.
You asked me if I saw the video that I brought up.
Okay. Well, yeah. Like, no, we say croissant because you look like an asshole if you, like, if I say, hey, what's up?
Oh, I know
you're coffee
doing.
And a croissant.
Just
that also rings true for caprese. Okay. It's not caprese. We don't say caprese. It doesn't make you sound intelligent or worldly. It makes you sound like an asshole. It's caprese. If you have an accent, caprese, whatever. Sure. It's caprese.
We're 3,000 miles closer than L.A. to France, to Italy, to all of those places.
We're in Philly, which is very Italian.
Very, yeah.
And we still say caprese.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's a caprese fucking salad. A caprese sandwich. It's not caprese.
I'm with you.
All right, anyway.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Steele, you know that I suffer from allergies, right?
I can tell you're suffering right now, actually.
Yeah, honestly, this time of year, I struggle with allergies, and it is the absolute worst. And I could never really seem to figure out how to get them and keep them at bay. Just to make sure that I get some relief during the day when I'm out and about, I don't want it to bog me down. You know, allergies suck, and they're the absolute worst. Astapro is awesome. Astapro is great. It's got a nasal spray that I try to make sure that I do every morning. Sometimes I do it at night and just let it sit because it really helps me and it makes me feel a lot better throughout the day so that I'm not suffering from allergies. Because look, I could be out at a party and then halfway through I feel the allergies setting in, get a little tired, get a little nasally, get a little headache. Nobody wants any of that.
I get an issue with it when you're nasally on the podcast because it doesn't sound good.
That's a really good point. Nobody wants a nasally shooter magooter on the podcast, and Astapro helps with that. I can just use the nasal spray and I can feel that it's going to work and I can be confident that it's going to make me feel better. And Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working within 30 minutes, while the other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astapro allergy.com. It's faster, bro.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
But in her confessionals, you're starting to really see the shift in Lala. And that's where she's now talking shit about the sandwiches. We've done this before. Can we fast forward? Like you said, like she's out now. She's fed up. She's bored with all this shit and she wants to move on from it all. And she drops the hammer. She says, just want to let you know yesterday, and this is the other thing, she hides it under the guise of being a good friend, so I'm going to keep you on the up and up as to what happened yesterday. That's not what she's doing. She's trying to stir some shit up, and she knows it, and she says, you know, I was with Sandoval yesterday, he invited me to do this thing, I didn't want to do that, but I did go there and check in with him, and we had the most productive conversation ever. This is the same as when Sheena goes to Ariana and tries to have a kumbaya moment about Sandoval. Ariana does not give a shit.
Yep.
She does not care that you had a productive conversation because she sees through it. She says, in her mind, what she's saying right there is, no, you just fell for his bullshit. You didn't have a productive conversation.
Well, from Sandoval's perspective, it was a little post-nut clarity.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, but
so he was calm.
But from Lala's standpoint, it's like, no, that's not a productive conversation. He wheeled the deal, he did what he did, and you fell for it. And by the way, while you were doing that, and that's when we need to talk about Ariana's room, while you were having your heart-to-heart with him, I was at the vet because the dog that Tom was very irresponsible with ate my chicken satay because I left my takeout counter on the bedside table, and the dog ate it, and Tom locked the dog in the room for 3 hours. Now, you can't blame Tom for this entirely.
No,
You can't.
You really can't.
Ariana's room's a fucking travesty.
It's a disaster.
Like, it just, every episode, something gets added to it, or we see it again, and like, God, you just, you gotta get out of there. You have to get out of that place. That room is gross.
It is.
And it got even grosser. Who is getting takeout, taking it home? And I get it, you live in your bedroom, and you were afraid to go to the bath, or go down to the kitchen.
When you leave, though, take it with you.
Yeah. You don't leave it there.
No. And like, that's the other thing. The dog got locked in the room. Sure. That's a dick move by Sandoval. But the dog could have eaten this shit without getting locked in the room. It seems to have free reign of the house. So you can't blame Sandoval entirely for this mishap with the dog that ended up costing $6,000 to get the dog fixed, which is fine.
Thank God the dog's okay.
Dog's okay. That's what matters. Maya's okay. That's what matters the most. Maya made it. We're all
good. PSA, throw out your goddamn leftovers.
Take your leftovers. Don't leave it on the bedside.
The room is gross enough. We don't need to add leftovers.
Okay, like, we're Team Ariana here. Like, we want her to succeed.
Where were you?
All that stuff. All of that.
You left all your leftovers there?
That's what I mean. Like, it's just, regardless, like, we are Team Ariana. The room's fucking gross, okay?
Get a mini fridge in there if you're just going to live in there.
No, throw your trash away.
No, but if you have a mini fridge, at least you can put it in the fridge. It's leftovers. You're just leaving food out?
That's what I mean. It's, no.
That's a mini fridge. You can put it in the fridge. I agree with you.
But because of the condition of the room, I'm not offering that olive branch of have a mini fridge. It's like, fair. No, just that's throw fair. Your shit away. And then don't blame Tom because the dog got... I'm not saying it's your fault entirely, too. I'm saying, like, if he locked the dog in the room and that's when the dog got it.
But it is funny that we get this side of the story because Tom's side was way different.
Totally different.
Totally different. He went in there because there was an air conditioning issue and he had to shut the vents and he left the door cracked or something and the dog got in there. No, apparently you locked the dog in the room.
Which is what happened.
That's 1,000% what happened. You forgot the dog was in there because you don't give a shit about that dog.
Correct.
It's Ariana's dog, so you see that dog and you're like, that's not my dog. I don't care. So you don't check the room to see if the dog's still in there.
Right.
Or maybe he did and he's like, you know what? I don't feel like dealing with this dog
today. That's what happened.
Dog's just going to go sleep on the bed. Whatever. See you later, dude. He eats the food. So everybody's somewhat at fault here, but it is funny to hear both sides, especially after Ariana's like, oh, yeah, I talked to Tom yesterday. I want to give him a chance and hear about all this stuff, whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, so you heard about that story too? He's the reason the dog was in there in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
So Tom still sucks? Okay.
All right, cool. Just checking. Just checking. But... moving on, we get to Sir, and we get a quick scene with Ken and Ariana and Katie and LVP. I was really, really hoping we'd get Ken to drop another bomb for us because he's the star of the show.
At least tell someone else in the group or Katie directly about Schwartz and Sheena or about Katie and Max. Like, he needs to mix it up. We need him involved way more when it comes to rumors.
I need one or two lines out of him. We did get
him every episode.
We got a halfway decent line out of him because it comes up about Schwartz and Sheena, and he goes, Schwartz did? That, I was like, but why couldn't he had said,
I think he loves it. I think he loves the gossip.
I do too. But like, it would have been so much better if he sat down and was like, Katie, did you hear that? Schwartz? Right, honey? Yeah, Schwartz and Sheena kissed. Bye. It's just like bolts. Like, I want more Ken dropping those kind of lines. But Schwartz shows up. He has an uncanny ability to show up at the worst time. And he goes up and tries to give drinks to the table, and they're not having it.
He's giving drinks to Ariana and Katie.
Yeah, because he gets awkward, and he thinks that by extending some kind of gift or drink or some kind of show
of peace,
that's his plan always. If you watch his move when he gets uncomfortable and there's people there that he's not cool with, his first move is to offer them a drink, bring them a drink, or show them some kind of friendship in the form of
something. I know, but at least if he brought a plant over, he wouldn't have been shaking the plant and getting, like, soil everywhere.
That's fair. Oh, yeah, that's fair. Yeah. But, you know, he's Schwartz, so, like, Schwartz gonna Schwartz. But they're pissed, obviously, Katie and Ariana. I do think it's weird that a lot more heat was reserved for Sheena, and I guess that's probably because they're closer and, like, she's done with Schwartz. I guess that actually makes sense.
It makes total sense.
I just had to connect it in my brain. But Schwartz goes back to the bar, and Brock drops a bombshell for us. And we've seen Max on the show. Max was on Vanderpump for a little bit, and I think just one season maybe, but he is Schwartz's best friend. Katie, after the Hotel Ziggy party, ended up going home with Schwartz. Or, sorry, not that. That didn't happen. She goes home with Max.
That'd be good TV.
Yeah. Max and Katie hook up. Max is Schwartz's best friend. Now, is it kind of fucked up of Max? Yes.
Oh, it's very fucked up of Max.
Extremely fucked up of Max. Is it fucked up of Katie?
Yeah, to an extent.
No. Nope.
You don't think so at all?
No. Schwartz opened that fucking door. Nope. You can't be a serial cheater and then she... By the way...
Serial cheating, yes.
She also told him to keep it out of the friend group. What did he do when he went to Mexico? He made out with Raquel to try to cover for Sandoval. Absolutely not. Fuck Max.
I just think it's a... I think it's an easy cop-out. I think that Katie just wanted to fuck Max.
Oh,
and she can be like, oh, you know, I told you to keep it out of the friend group. Like,
you,
it's
you
just...
think that it was just... That's her excuse, but she just wanted to blank Max.
I just think she doesn't give a shit. Yeah.
Regardless, I have no ill will towards Katie in this scenario. None at all.
I think you can pick someone else. You don't have to hit that close to home.
No, fuck that. Fuck that.
But that's Schwartz, revenge. Bullshit. That's what we're talking
which
about.
Which is fine, though. This is
revenge
different.
Is okay.
This is different because of the shit that Katie put up with from Schwartz for an extended period of time. And this fucking guy always, always, always gets a pass. He is never grilled for it. So no, fuck
it. We agree that it's very fucked up of Max.
Yes, Max, absolutely.
Okay.
Katie, no. Nope.
All right, whatever. I disagree, but it's fine.
I think that he deserved it.
If it's really, really, really fucked up for one party, it's at least a little fucked up for the second party.
It's fucked up, but I don't disagree with it. How about that?
Okay.
It's a little fucked up.
I will find
that. But I don't disagree. I think it's a good move.
I see this as an absolute win.
You do?
Yeah, for me.
I mean, I think it's slightly fucked up, but again, I'm all for it. I think that Schwartz deserved it.
You're about that revenge life.
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Sometimes. I don't hold grudges, but I do take things personally. As you know.
I think listeners know that too.
Yeah, I do take things a little personally, more so than most, but I don't hold grudges. I will be over something very fast, but you will hear my piece about it. How about that?
All right, that's fair.
But Sandoval shows up with T and they went bowling 70s style. Got to make sure we highlight that, highlight the outfit.
Fucking dickhead that walks in and looks like he's got a bowling bag, but it's just another purse. It's just another purse.
It's another purse. That's his thing.
Such a douchebag.
That's his thing now.
He's, look, the purse. Compared to the 70s outfit and the dance moves that he's pulling on the bowling lanes.
She goes, why are you so good at that? Why are you so good at that?
She's 25. She doesn't know any better.
But that's what was so funny about what we're about to talk about is because... Oh, and by the way, just a quick thing because I just saw it in my notes. It's definitely like friendship should be over from Schwartz's standpoint because even Max understood what he did because the next day he sent Brock the fucking emoji with his... Like the mouth.
Yeah.
And like he understands exactly what he did. And then says, this one's a little weird. It had to happen eventually. How long has there been tension here? Like that's where it starts to get a little fucked up. But regardless, still Team Katie on it. But
you don't have to pick a team.
No, I am. On this one, I am. Fuck that. Fuck Schwartz. He deserved it. But it was really funny to watch Ariana talk to T and just be like, how old are you? You're 25? Yeah. Don't waste your time with a 41-year-old narcissist. You're better than that, honey. And just drag Sandoval. Does a good job of softening the blow with T and saying, you're the prize, babe. You're the prize. You don't need that guy. Yep. But leaves her just like twiddling her thumbs at the bar like, ooh. Like, I think that I bit off a little more than I can chew. I
love that Brock starts like dying laughing.
He's just Brock is an enigma. Brock's an enigma because the way that he is without Sheena, he seems like a nice guy. He says really intelligent things. He is always like on point. The minute Sheena's involved, he is such a raging asshole. Like,
I know.
The way he talks to her, I don't care if you guys aren't cool. The way he talks to her is unacceptable.
Yep.
It's fucked up. But then when he's not with her, I'm like, he's good TV.
He's the only one that's speaking logic in the entire group. Yeah. And then he goes to Sheena and he's a complete dick.
Like not cool, like over the top too much. Yep. Yeah, I agree. It's this weird back and forth, but... Sheena gets really pissed at Brock for spilling the beans, which I thought was hysterical. It is the most hypocritical bullshit ever. And she's like, I wasn't going to say anything. That's it.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's all timing. If the whole Hotel Ziggy conversation with Katie didn't happen the night before, Sheena would have been fine with it. She probably would have already told.
Yes.
She would have woken up that day, looked at her 56 locations, which, by the way, you're a fucking freak. You're going to do that? Yeah.
56 locations.
You do it. I'm not glossing over it. I understand if you're like a group of girls and you all have each other's locations, you want to be safe. Sure, go for it. She has Max's location?
Weird.
Why?
56.
56
people.
Is crazy.
Serial killer shit.
And for people to crack a joke like, oh, yeah, she's a serial collector of locations.
No. That's
what does that mean?
It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous that she has that many locations.
I think this is what happened. She realized that she had Max's location. She saw the two of them, or Brock saw the two of them leave, And she was, even though she said she wasn't, she was refreshing every minute.
Without a doubt.
What's going on here? Is he dropping her off? Like, no, you know what's going on.
When she goes, I'm not like in here like creepy. It's like, you fucking are.
That is creepy.
You absolutely are. I bet you check every one of those locations daily.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you she's got Raquel's.
Ooh.
Bet you she's got Raquel's.
Raquel have a new phone, though, or did she just block Sandoval?
I don't know. Oh. Don't know, but I bet you she had it.
She definitely had it at one point.
I bet you she still has it. I think she still has it, but shit heats up at the table because Brock lets the group know, wait, like, yeah, what? Did I miss something?
No.
What?
You're saying that she has Raquel's.
Oh.
Holy shit.
She knew.
She had to have
known. Wait a minute. She definitely had Raquel's. She
1,000% had Raquel's.
Holy
and probably Sandoval's.
Shit. Definitely had Sandoval's. But she knew they were hanging out a lot.
Okay.
Oh, bro. That's interesting.
Whoa.
I wonder if other people are talking about this. They're white.
That's huge.
There's got to be something there. If you have 56 people's you are a serial collector of locations. You were best friends with Sandoval. You were best friends with Rachel. There's no way. There's no way.
I'm going to put a tweet out.
You have to.
We got to get on top of this. All right, quick tweet break there.
Sorry, that was a quick, we had to get that thing out. I think, look, bro, there's some merit to that. I'm not saying that she knew that they were, like, banging, but she definitely noticed, like, especially because, like, things were getting kind of weird, right?
Yep.
They saw them at the Abbey. When she got, there's no fucking way when she caught wind that there might be some sketchy shit going on that she wasn't refreshing that shit. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no way.
Let's assume, I mean, 56 is a big number. Let's assume she has Sandoval, Schwartz,
she's
and Raquel.
All of them.
So that night that Ken broke us that story, that beautiful story that Ken broke to us, Schwartz was there, went home.
Dude, this
you
is...
see Tom and Raquel at Tom and Ariana's house, the two of them. You know Ariana's away.
We need the phone.
Yeah.
We need the FBI to vet that phone.
Yep.
Go back and check and see if she ever checked. There's no fucking way she didn't check once. No fucking way.
What if there's
way.
Any other crimes that we can find from Sheena's location phone?
Amongst this group? Probably
not
Jax.
Just amongst that group. I want to know who else is on this list.
We probably could have seen if Jax was fucking about.
We already know that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need a location.
Jax will probably tell us at some point. So
we don't need a location to know that one. But
Jesus.
Wow. Fuck it. Let's end it right here. I don't think we get Lala's like fake stomp off where she's like, I can't be around all this. Like, everybody's slimy. I'm annoyed. It's like, bro, you're right in the mix with everybody. Don't fucking do that. Like,
we all know that.
This,
like,
high
this isn't some revelation where all of a sudden it's like, you guys are all secret
that's
scumbags.
What I mean.
It's like, we've known they've been scumbags for 12 years.
Yeah, that's why we watch the show.
The
that's
whole
why
point.
You're on the show, by
when
the way.
When the show ended, I'm like, we need more of this. This is old VPR.
This is
bring
great.
It back.
Yeah,
it's even funnier because they're all 40.
That's my point, bro. And like this weird high horse that she's on right now. It's like,
it.
I get it. If you're on a healing journey, good for you. You know me. I love that kind of shit. But at the same time, if you're going to take the high road as though you are light years down this healing journey and not just starting and can't admit that you've been part of the gross shit sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Come on. I'm still floored. I think that we unearthed something.
I hope so.
I'm curious now.
Boy, do I hope so.
Well, question master.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Until I get my iPad back from the airport. If I get my iPad, they haven't responded yet. Fuck.
Oh, boy. First question from Neely 3009. What is with Sandoval's merce he's carrying around? Thank God somebody else noticed.
Yeah, we don't have to respond. You get it. That guy gets it.
From RMEB or RMEB 124.
Yeah, not that easy, is it?
Well, it could be one or the other. Who knows? Who has a worse job, Anne or Penny the sandwich consultant?
Anne.
And still.
Penny gets to eat sandwiches.
That's a good
bad.
Point. And you know what? She's getting paid, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
she's
definitely.
She's getting paid to make and eat sandwiches. Like, that sounds like a dream job. Actually, I'd kind of do that.
Yeah, for sure. from Rachel Michaelis, do the bros share each other's locations? I text Steele and say, where are you?
Yep. And I
actually, I don't even ask where he is. I just say, what are you doing?
Yeah, he says, what are you doing? And
what are you wearing?
If it's one of those evenings where a shooter scampers off to do whatever the fuck he does, which isn't a gross thing. He just sometimes he'll bop to bars. I don't know where he is. Just
make new friends.
Yeah, he makes new friends. It'll show up with new friends. It's the whole thing. I just wait to hear from him. And if I haven't heard from him in an extended period of time, I will text him. Two words. You good? He'll respond, yep, or a thumbs up, and I know he's fine.
There we go. One more here, and this is not really pertaining to the episode, but it is VPR-centric. From Grace Caroline Larcade, what about Ariana's bro cozying up to Sandoval?
Oh, yeah.
Was Stassi always right?
I think it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty fucked up. They haven't talked for a long time now, and I think that it's weird that he's taking the stance of, you know, pretty much saying, like, she's burning too many bridges, which is bizarre. And the fact, like, I can't imagine if I got cheated on and one of my siblings was photographed hugging the ex that cheated on me. Like, that is a knife to the heart. So
yeah.
I think it's gross. I think he's an asshole. I think Stassi was always right. Like, fuck that guy, honestly.
Yep. Fully agree with that.
Anyway.
But, that's all I got. You got anything else?
Yeah, I don't like not being the question master because the episode ends weird for me because then you do my part.
It's not that. It's just that you don't have anything else.
I don't.
And you feel bad that you don't have anything else, right?
I do have one thing. We got a live show coming up May 3rd. We got three very special guests. We got Candace Dillard. We got Chris Bassett. And we got Ryan Bailey coming out. It's an awesome venue. Get them ticks. Link is in the bio. Not even going to mention Boston. That's in June 14th. I guess I did just mention it. So, you know what? If you don't have tickets to that yet, there's not a lot left. Go get your tickets for Boston so you don't miss out on that one. We're pumped. It's getting closer to live show season. Once we get like a month away, I start getting geared up for it. I'm itching to get back on that stage. So make sure you get those tickets. Come out and hang out with the bros. Hang out with Candace, Chris, and Ryan. And your boy old Scootsy Magootsy over here.
Right here.
Got anything else?
Nope.
Yeah, see, I flipped it. Bro, bros are out of here.
See ya.